let's just pray tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. We worship your majesty. We exalt your holy name. You're a good, good Father. There is none like you. We appreciate you for your goodness tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, we turn the atmosphere to you tonight. We ask that you do your own thing even in our midst tonight. What only you can do, we ask, Father, Lord, that you would do tonight. Your children have come with their expectation in their heart to meet with you. I pray that no one will go home without being touched tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I yield myself to you as a body, as a vessel to be used tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let your word come forth with power and with conviction of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Quickly, let's turn to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1, from verse 6. I read quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I read from verse 5. It says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called by Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be strengthened. This is so that I may be encouraged together with you by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now I would not have you unaware, brothers, that I often intended to come to you, but was prevented until now, that I might have a harvest among you, also even as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I titled my message this evening, I am not ashamed of the gospel. When Pastor called me and he said that he would need me to speak, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, you go, help me here. So this came into my spirit, and over the last couple of days, there were confirmation from different sources that this is what I need to speak about tonight. I don't know how many people that is here tonight that God has a word for. You know, it is not my own thing to do. The Holy Spirit will speak to you wherever you are, specifically to your situation. So it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It is the power of God for salvation. So when I was preparing this, I was like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? So he told me, he said, wisdom is the principal thing with all you're getting. Get understanding. He said, everything that we do as children of God in the kingdom, we have to have an understanding of everything that we're doing. Because if we don't have an understanding of what we're doing, we'll just be playing religion. And it's not going to help us. Because when you do it and it doesn't produce the result that you think it should produce, you get frustrated. And you may actually be on the right track. But because you don't have an understanding of what you are supposed to see, you may be one step away from your breakthrough. And then you just turn back because you are frustrated. The Bible says we should give praise unto God with understanding. So if the Bible says we should give praise unto God with understanding, then it automatically means we should also do what? Pray with understanding. You can infer also that the gospel that God has commanded us to preach also, we should also do it with what? Understanding, knowing exactly what we're doing. You see, the book that we have in our hand, the Bible, is a book of many parts. One of the things that we need to understand, especially in this end time, that this book is a book of mystery. God has a lot of secrets that are embedded in this book. And he did it for a purpose. He said in his book that part of being wise is the ability to hold things back to yourself. Not telling everything. So some of the things that God did is to hide some secret for us, not from us. So that in this end time, God wants us to show the devil and the demons. He wants us to teach them some lessons. He wants us to show demons and principalities that they are nothing, that they are not in charge. But our ability to do this is predicated on the understanding that we have about these mysteries. There are so many mysteries in this scripture. One of the mysteries in the Bible is the mystery of the gospel. In fact, Apostle Paul prayed. He said, pray for me that I have what? Boldness to speak the mystery of the gospel the way I'm supposed to declare it. What are mysteries? These are divine secrets. These are ancient wisdom that God used to establish this world. These are secrets that God used to bring about the manifestation of his wisdom. This is a body of knowledge in the Bible that is not accessible to everybody. That is the truth. It's only accessible to a certain group of people. That's why Jesus Christ, he looked at the disciples, said, to you it has been given to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. Not everybody. And the basis on which you understand the mystery of the kingdom of God comes when you have a revelation of Christ as the Son of God. Jesus was asking the disciple one day, he said, who do people say I am? They said, oh, well, you're a prophet, you're a good man, you're whatever. I said, okay. What about you people? Who do you think I am? Even the disciples, they didn't know him. And they've been walking with him for how many years? Probably almost 2 years. But suddenly Peter spoke up. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood did not tell you that. But my Father gave you that revelation. And upon the basis of that revelation, he said, I will build my what? Church. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Not only will I build my church, he said, what? On the basis of that revelation, I will give you key and access to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So it is the desire of God for us to have access to this mystery. So when Jesus was going, one of the things he told us, he said, go preach what? The gospel. He said, go and preach the gospel to the whole nation. Tell them, teach them everything I've what? I've taught you. He said, as many that believed what you are teaching, he said, what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, when he was in the world, when he was about to begin his ministry, after he came back, and he went into the temple, he opened the book of Isaiah. You find that in the book of Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. So he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Timothy, one of the instructions he received from Apostle Paul, he said, preach the gospel in and out of season. Whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, you do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. So, we could see emphasis on the preaching of the gospel. And if we want to unpack the mystery of the gospel, we need to begin to ask ourselves, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? If I ask us, oh, good news. Yes, good news. Thank you. Good news of what? What? Okay. Our sins are paid for, so what? So, good, you are giving me good answers. But the thing is this, you're talking to somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Probably a very rich man that doesn't even have to think about anything in life. And you're telling him your sins are paid for, so what? Tell me, what are you talking about? So we must have an understanding of what God has handed over to us to do. Because if we don't, we'll miss out on a lot of things. So what are we talking about when we're talking about the gospel? What is the gospel? Just like she said, the gospel is the good news. But good news of what? Anything that is a gospel must be able to tell you five things. Five things. Good news of who God is and what God has done from beginning of creation to the time he's going to come back. What he has done. You must be able to tell somebody there is somebody that is an infinite being that is self-existent millions of years before you showed up here. He's done some things. And if you don't know about these things, you miss your destiny. So your gospel must be able to tell people about who God is and what he has done from beginning to the end. The number two thing that the gospel must be able to tell you. Is what was done. Not only who did it. What is it that he did? What is it that he did? The number three thing that the gospel must be able to tell you is, why did he do it? Why did he do it? For your gospel also to be complete, you must be able to tell them how he did it. And finally, for you to unpack the mystery of the gospel, you must be able to tell the person how you can lay hold of what has been done. If your gospel is missing any part of this element, it's going to be incomplete. You're going to put so many people in quandary, they'll be wondering what's going on here. And we hear Apostle Paul say, I am not ashamed of the gospel because what? It is the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? Deliverance. Not just the fact that God forgave you your sin. If you're living your life based on the fact that God forgave my sin alone, you're still going to be in trouble. You're going to live in frustration in this world. Because there are more things that are attached to salvation than just forgiveness of your sin. Because what? In this world, the Bible says God created heaven for himself and he made the earth for the Son of Man. There's a reason why he did it. But somebody hijacked the works of God. And God had to go after that person tooth and nail to get everything back. So part of your salvation is to be able to get everything that belongs to you by redemptive right. The Bible says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. To receive what? Glory. To receive honor. To receive wealth. To receive strength. You have a seven-dimension redemptive right. Forget what the world is talking about here. You see, one of the things that is going about is that when somebody is talking about money in the church, they begin to tell you, oh, he's a prosperity preacher. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive for you wealth. Jesus shed his blood so that you can prosper. In fact, if you read Luke 4:18, it says what? It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The first person or the first set of people that the gospel was pointed to, they were the poor people. Somebody is going to tell you, oh, he's spiritually poor. No. If Jesus was spiritually poor, he wouldn't raise any dead. He wouldn't heal the sick. When he's talking about poverty, he's talking about what? Spirit, soul, and body, financial, money, cash. Why? Bible says silver and gold belongs to who? To the devil. No! Silver and gold belongs to God. Is God going to spend silver? No! Is he going to spend gold? What's he going to use it for? It's for you and I. So don't let anybody sow a seed of nonsense in your mind about the gospel. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be rich. But the thing is that you must understand the purpose for which he is giving you the money. Because the church of God is going to need the money in this end time. There is a battle to be won. And the enemy you are facing is blessing his own children with money. The gospel is good news. It must introduce you to God. It must tell you about God. Why? Because in this end time, there are two main battles we're going to be fighting. The battle of knowledge and the battle of name. The battle of knowledge and the battle of name. Yes. Because the scripture says what? It said in this time, because the ownership of the world is still in the hand of the devil. The Bible says the God of this world is the devil. So if you read Isaiah chapter 60, it said what? It said darkness covers what? The whole earth. And gross darkness covers the people. Anywhere you see gross darkness, it means what? Ignorance. Ignorance. See, but God was not watching and he did something about it. In the Bible also, it tells us, it says, the knowledge of God will cover the earth as what? Water covered the sea. And it tells you that those who know their God, they shall be what? They shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Without the preaching of the gospel, people won't know God. It's in the book of Romans chapter 10. He said, how would they know if nobody tells them? How would they know if nobody is sent to them? How would they know if we don't have preachers? If there are no preaching of the gospel in this world, the world will continue to be in what? In darkness. The gospel is the only avenue that has been ordained to bring light into this world. The gospel is the only avenue that God has ordained for him to be known to the whole world. So if we refuse to preach the gospel, if we are ashamed of the gospel, then the world will remain in darkness. The Bible says we are the light of the world. A city that is what? Set upon the hill. You became lighted when you had the gospel. Somebody spoke to you. And when the gospel came to you, the Bible says what? Faith comes when you hear the word of God. And when the faith comes, it comes with light. It comes with revelation. Then you understand there's somebody that loved you before the foundation of the world. I said we'll be fighting two battles. The other one is the battle of name. You see, in this end time, there's only one name by which God has revealed himself to us. And that name is Jesus Christ. That name is what? Jesus Christ. So, when you preach your gospel, you must let people know God as Jesus Christ. There are people in this world, they know God, but don't know him as Jesus Christ. They know him as Buddha. Hello? They know him as Allah. They know him as Hare Krishna. And they are sincere in what they know. So it's up to you to introduce them to the true God, whose name is what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That is why the devil is so mad. Look in the world, they will tell you, you can talk about every other thing, but don't talk that name. Don't mention that name. As long as you don't what? Mention that name, we're fine. The devil knows what he's doing. And it's not a new trick. It happened in the book of Acts of Apostles. They told the disciples, you can do everything. In fact, you can preach about the Holy Spirit. Just don't mention the name of Jesus. And the apostle looked at them. Say, are you telling us to believe you or believe God? He said, we're not talking about fables here. We're talking about what we know, what we've seen, what we've touched, what has transformed our lives. You can do whatever you want to do, but we'll never stop mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. So if people don't know him as Jesus, they don't know God yet. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, say God spoke in the past through prophet. He said, but in this end time, he's speaking through his son. He said, there's no name under heaven that has been given unto us by which we can be what? Saved. Except the name of Jesus Christ. So people must know God as Jesus Christ. And he's the doer of all things. Everything that you see that is created that you can see physically. The Bible says everything consist in who? In Christ. This world was not created by Mother Nature. Forget it. There's nothing like universe. Some people will tell you, I spoke to the universe. You are talking to the devil. That's the truth. Let's strip it down. You see, the time is so short. We don't have to placate people with the word of God. The word of God is powerful enough to defend itself. You want to save lives, there's no need to play games. You talk to the universe, you are talking to the devil. Take it or leave it. The Bible says, in Christ, everything is created. Whether it be throne, whether it be dominion, whether it be... He said, in him, he holds everything together by the word of his power. He's the word. The Bible says, in the beginning, was the what? Was the word. And the word was what? Was with God, and the word was God. And he went on to tell us that, and the word became what? Flesh. Everything that you see is created in Christ Jesus. Why did he do it? Who did he do it for? He did it for you and I. And why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you too much. The Bible says, there's a scripture, it says, you were chosen from the what? From the foundation of the world. You see, when you hear the word chosen, correct me if I'm wrong, that means you have options. Is that not the case? If I have to choose, it's because you have other things to choose from. Let me tell you the truth. God could have chosen the angels. The Bible says he made up his mind. He said, I choose man. I choose man. And not only that, this world that we're seeing is going to come to an end. It's going to be burned up with fire. He said, God will make a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible says God is not going to entrust the new earth to the hand of angels, but he's going to entrust it into the hand of man. Oh, yes. You see? We don't understand what God made when he made you and I. When he opened his mouth and he said, I choose man, he canceled every other option. God doesn't have anything besides man. Not that he can't create any other thing, but he bound himself by his word. He said, I chose you. Come rain, come shine, come high water, I'm going to stick with you. Why do you think he sent Jesus to come and die horribly? The kind of death he died on the cross. When Adam and Eve fell, he could have said, you know what, let's crack this thing and let's start all over again. That would have saved him a whole lot of what? Trouble. It would have saved him a whole lot of trouble. So let's cancel this. How often do we make mistakes and say, you know what? Oh, boy. Let's start again. Imagine if God did that to Adam and Eve. We won't be here today. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he will never, ever change his mind. That's why he said what? I will never leave you. And I will never what? I will never forsake you. When the devil came in between us, he had us for a while. And God looked at him. He said, you got my best. You took my Picasso. You took my best creation. You're going to know who I am. He said, the seed of the woman will do what? Will crush your head. The devil got confused. Because women don't carry seed. They don't. What you talking about? Say, watch me. I'm coming. That's why God himself, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has to father Jesus. The only natural biological parent that Jesus had is Mary. That's the seed of woman. He did it all because of love. That is why love is not an emotion. It's not. I was studying one day, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, son, what's the definition of love? I said, well, strong emotion. I said, no, you're wrong. I opened the dictionary, he said, you're wrong. I said, I give up. I said, what's it? He said, love simply means commitment to do good. The world wants you to believe that love is emotion. Not love, that's lust. Oh yeah, you may be the worst sinner in the world, but God looked at you and said, you know what, I chose you. And because I chose you, I'm going to deploy every arsenal that I have within me to rescue you from the hand of that stupid guy. That is love. Love is not an emotion. It's a decision. God didn't tell you to like people. Facebook wants you to like people. No. You don't have to like somebody, but you are commanded to love them. Hello? So you put your emotion somewhere else and say, God, this one is created in your own image and likeness. And you commanded me to love him. So I'm going to obey you. He stabbed me in the back. It's hurtful. God said, yes, I saw it. But do it for me. Do it for me. Because you too, you stabbed me in the back. And it was painful. But I didn't look at that. I came after you. I still chose you. He said, I want you to love one another. The way that I what? That I've loved you. I want you to love one another the way that I love you. If your gospel that you're preaching is devoid of love, is devoid of the power of God. The Bible says, faith walketh by love. So if you call yourself a faith person, but you hate people, forget it, it's fake. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Say you can be able to speak even the tongues of the angel. He said, if you don't love, he said, this is nothing. You ain't doing nothing. He said, in fact, you can give up yourself to be burnt at the stake. Some people are doing it. That's why you see the Muslims, they bump themselves up. Why? Because they believe they are God. They believe they are doing it for their God. But guess what? It's just a waste because it's not coming from the place of love. It's not coming from the place of love. Man is the highest creation of God. Man is a mystery of God. Man is a fusion of God and humanity. That's why Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man. That's the original prototype of man in heaven. Every other person came out of him. So where Jesus is sitting on the right-hand side of God is actually for you and I. He's just holding it in trust for us. That's why if you read the book of Psalms, the Bible says man is created a little bit lower than God. A little bit what? Lower than God. In fact, when the angels saw it, they went crazy. They said, what is man? They didn't say, who is man? They said, what is man? We were having a nice party before you brought this guy into the picture. What is this? You love him so much, you gave him everything, you crown him with glory. On top of that, you go and visit him. And you are behaving as if you've lost your head when it comes to man. What we are doing to God, there is no angel in heaven that can get away with it. You do a pinky of what we're doing to God, that angel is a toast forever. Done, finished, gone. But because you came out of him, man is a product of the womb of love. When Nicodemus asked Jesus, he said, how can I be born again? Do you mean I will go back inside my mother and come out again? You see, he was saying something deep, but he didn't understand the ramification of what he was saying. The Holy Spirit gave me a flash of what happens when you get born again. The moment you say that prayer sincerely, that Jesus come into my life, do you know what happens? God kill the old man instantly. And at the same instance, he gives you his own very nature. So what Nicodemus was saying was actually true. Because as soon as you say that, God take you and put you back in his womb and he gives birth to you again. That is a mystery. That's why Jesus told him, except a man be born of what? Of the spirit and water, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are people that are walking around this world. They are not real human beings. You can't preach the gospel to them. They can't change. They can't be delivered. Why? Because salvation is not for them. They were not born of the spirit and of the water. Those are the ones that the Bible called the seed of the devil. And they are all over the place. But God has commanded us to preach the gospel. He said, it is my power to set the captives free. Let's go to the book of Luke 4. I'll close with this. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 4. Luke 4. Are we there? I read from verse 18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why do the poor need the gospel? Because God knows that you need money. So he wants to tell you that before the foundation of the world, I made provision for your finances. If you can believe it today, I don't care what you're going through. Your situation of financial trouble is a darkness. And darkness was not created by God. Darkness is not the absence of light, it's the covering of light. Hello? That's why God can say in the beginning, he said what? Let there be what? What he said in that place was light, come out. Because the light was there, but darkness was covering it. So if you're going through financial difficulty, your way out into prosperity is in that place. The woman that wanted to take her children, the widow woman, he went to the man of God. What did the man of God say? He said, what do you have in your what? He said, I don't have nothing. He said, don't tell me that there's something in your house. He said, I have a little oil. He said, that's all I need. Go borrow. The solution to our problem was there. That oil was in that house before her husband died. How come the husband died poor? Because it was ignorance of certain things. So your situation that you're going through, that you are facing difficulty, that you're walking through darkness, what? God is there. The psalmist says, I may walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil because what? Your presence is with me. Your presence is with me. He said what? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted tonight? I got good news for you. Before the foundation of the world, your Father has made provision for everything that will make you live a joyful life. It says, the joy of the Lord is your what? He didn't say the joy of the devil. The devil ain't got no joy. It is because you allow him, that's why you're going through that situation. But the moment you have an understanding of the gospel, that this is the way out of the problem, he said what? Come and draw from the well of salvation. There's a well that is called the well of what? Salvation. Well of deliverance. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll do what? I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said what? To preach deliverance to the captives. Are you a captive of the devil tonight? Is the enemy molesting your destiny, harassing your life, holding you bound in his territory? And guess what? He said captives. God is not talking about how you go into captivity. It's irrelevant to God. Do you know why it's irrelevant to God? If I steal your purse, even though you put it where you're not supposed to put it, does that make me less a thief? Does that make me less a thief? No! I'm still a thief. I'm still a thief. It doesn't matter where you put your purse. The thing is that I'm not supposed to touch it. So it doesn't matter how you get into that captivity. Whether it's your own making, whether it's your own error, whatever brought you into that captivity, it's irrelevant to God. There is a place of refuge in God. There's a place of refuge in gospel. He said what? I've been sent to deliver as many that are captives of the enemy. He said, shall the captives be delivered of the mighty? Say, yes, even the lawful captive. In other words, you open your eyes and you walk into the territory of the enemy and they chain you down. That's what is called lawful, because you went over to where you're not supposed to go to. But God is still telling you, son, I chose you. If you can believe me enough and receive this gospel tonight, say that captivity is going to be what? Over. Over. The devil didn't pay for your life. Jesus did with his blood. He did with his blood. And he said what? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion. And whom I will have compassion. He chose you, so you are qualified for his mercy. And because of that mercy, the Bible says because of mercy, you are not consumed. You cannot be destroyed. Because what? There's something called the blood of Jesus. Bible says the blood speaketh of mercy, and the mercy of God prevail over judgment. What does it say? A recovery of sight to the blind. Are you spiritually blind? And he's not talking just spiritually, even physically. That's why Jesus healed the blind. One of the worst things that can happen is spiritual blindness. That's why Jesus is so mad against blindness. He hates it. Because what? He puts you in darkness. He put you in ignorance of what God has done for you from beginning to the end. So he's telling you tonight, the light is here. He said the entrance of his word bringeth forth what? Light and understanding. He said to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Are you under the oppression of the enemy? Oppression can be what? Financial. It can be in your body. Are you sick in your body? It's an oppression of the enemy. Every sickness, name it, I don't care what it is, headache, whatever. Sometimes it's just a small headache, I can handle it. No, you were not created to handle it. That's why Jesus died. He said, by his stripes, you were what? You were healed. He said, he destroys sin in the flesh of his body. He forgiven all your sin and he healed you of what? All your diseases. He didn't say 99.99. He said all. All means what? All. Next sentence, he said what? How Jesus was anointed with Holy Ghost and with power and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. Because what? God was with him. Every sickness and disease, no matter what the name is called, is what? Is an oppression of the enemy. Because there is no sickness in the kingdom that you belong in. It says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is the day of salvation. Today. 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 God is the God of now. And everything he does it on the basis of the gospel being preached. So when Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he knows what he's saying, talking about. So all of us, please, don't let's be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. You don't know who God wants to set free. You don't know who God wants to deliver. Just trust God. Believe him. Trust him. Speak and let him do the rest. And you see the hand of God manifesting in situation and circumstances. And you will glorify God.